Hello everyone, and welcome back to Radio Maryam Armenia. My name is Chris Croson, and yet again, I'll be your host. I am a Birthright Armenia volunteer in the stunning city of Gyumri, and I'm currently working on a project with Radio Maryam, in which I'm conducting interviews with my fellow Birthrighters. In these interviews, I hope to get our listeners acquainted with the Gyumri volunteers, see what they're doing here in Armenia, and see what kind of insights they can offer us into life in Armenia today. Today, however, we are yet again not joined by a current Birthright volunteer, but by a Birthright Armenia alumni, someone who has already completed the Birthright journey and can offer us a fresh perspective on what life is like after Birthright. Anahid Sarian, welcome to the show, and a huge thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So our listeners need to get to know you a little bit. Please tell us about your background. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
I am born in Sydney, Australia. Mm-hmm. I grew up there. I went to university there. Not very long before COVID, I had a small stint, I'll call it, living in New York. I always thought I was going to stay, but unfortunately the pandemic changed everything for so many people around the world, definitely including me. I ended up back in Sydney after that. And yeah, very soon after finding myself in Sydney again, I then found myself in Gyumri, Armenia.
Mm-hmm. All right, very nice. So how did that kind of come about? How did you end up in Gyumri?
It was kind of this awful situation where you're going through the global pandemic, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, as Armenians around the world, we all found out that our country is under attack. For my generation, I guess we never saw that on our phones before, you know, like the Artsakh war in the 90s was before I was born, you know, kind of ended as I was born. For me personally, seeing everything and just feeling so helpless, I tried very hard to do what I could in the Sydney Armenian community and use what I had there to make some kind of impact. But at some point I realized there's only so much I could do from a distance.
Right.
And
a big distance.
Yeah, big, huge distance, right? Mm. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess I'm not really able to focus and I didn't have much like ping me in Sydney anyway. So I thought, I'm just going to go online and see how I could get out of here.
Mm.
And we had very strict border security then. You couldn't leave Australia and you couldn't really come back either. Everyone was locked down. But I applied for Birthright. Birthright were very good. They sent a very helpful letter that basically said that I'm going for humanitarian aid purposes and that because of needing volunteers, they should let me out of the country. And so they did. And that was that. I started Birthright on Valentine's Day 2021. So February 14, I landed in Armenia and 3 days later, I was in Gyumri already volunteering.
It's probably the most unique Birthright origin story I've ever heard.
I think there are more people like this, just different types. It is quite funny. It's a unique set of circumstances.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
So you came 2021, like you said, Valentine's Day. And then how long did you stick around for?
I did volunteering for 5.5 months.
Mm.
Yeah, so it took me into July that year. I knew, I guess, when I committed to the volunteering that I'm going to find out if I can stay. Like, I definitely wasn't in a mind frame of like, I'm going to need convincing to stay. It was more that spend that volunteering time sorting yourself out and understanding what's required of you to stay in Armenia. And I did really like Gyumri. I felt very strongly about living in the regions rather than in the capital.
Okay.
So I think that by the time that volunteering season passed, well, it was pretty easy actually because I saw that Australia still had the same lockout laws, so you couldn't just go back. You had to pay a lot of money and stay in a quarantine hotel. And I was like, yeah, I've been there, done that. I don't need to do this. So I'm just going to stay. So I stayed in Gyumri, found a place to live. Most of that first 6 months, like the end of that year, was just me figuring out how to solidify myself in Gyumri, and it goes from there, I guess.
So you basically came to Armenia with the intention of staying here, and you just used Birthright as a kind of bridge to get you here.
I guess I had sort of like an idea in my head that, okay, there are certain things that might be factors that make it not possible, but as much as it is possible, try to do it. I'm a kind of person, I like a challenge, whether that's in work or, you know, where you're living or whatever, you know. I like that idea of, okay, here's the issue, because of I'm diasporan living in the homeland, like there are so many things that will come up, but how to solve it is like the exciting part for me. So yeah, I definitely work through a lot of the things that may have sent me back, you know, to Sydney, but didn't.
Well, we're glad you're still here.
me too.
You've beaten all the obstacles.
Yeah.
So, you know, why did you feel so strongly about coming here?
I grew up actually in a kind of family where I wasn't like forced into being Armenian and acting an Armenianness or anything. We had a lot of community around and I was involved, but it was always my own choice. I found that really interesting because my parents are great in that way that they let me understand what I like about our nationality more than trying to like make me take their version of it. And my mom grew up in Iran and she had a lot more Armenian culture than my dad. He grew up mostly in Australia. So I think what that was really nice is that my family actually were really not interested in me living here. My grandma, most of all, actually was really upset when I decided I'm just coming here and I'm staying. But I think what made me personally like become that kind of person that's interested in living in the homeland, it very much was like, well, this war is happening. I should have known that that would happen. Like, I think all Armenians should have been aware that this day is going to come where we have to answer this question of, can we keep Artsakh? Can we defend ourselves? And so there was a little bit of guilt. Like, I can totally acknowledge that shame and guilt of like, why didn't I volunteer before? Or why did it never cross my mind to try living here before? I had done many like summer camps and visits and just a bunch of stuff. Like, I went to an Armenian school, so they brought us here like on pilgrimage when we were very young, so I knew a lot about the place. But I think that I felt that's never been enough, and now I have to do something better if I want to be able to sleep at night. I don't know, it was like a very like tormenting experience of like, I need to do something. But then honestly, then this might be like answering like a future question, but living here has so much in it. Like, there's such a give and take. Like, there are things that Armenia needs from you and has to take from you when you're from the diaspora or just even from anywhere in the world, and then there's the things that it gives back, and there's this really beautiful balance that maybe you don't really get in other countries. Like, I feel happier here, you know, as much as it's a difficult place, as much as we still have that vulnerability of we don't know if we can survive as a country, I feel like we can, and I feel like I can keep being a part of that potential future, you know, the possibility.
I can see you've got this deep attachment to your roots. So could you tell us a bit about your roots? What's the kind of story with your Armenian family and all this?
Yeah, I have a lot of different types of roots. The majority are actually from Nakhichevan. This means that like those members of my family, so I'm talking a lot from my mother's side, have been in Iran for quite a few centuries, maintaining their Armenian communities, their Armenian social, you know, way of living and all that kind of thing, which is quite spectacular. And it means a lot to me. And Nakhichevan is somewhere that, you know, is completely dissolved of all Armenianness right now. And there's a potential that some part of my family is also from Artsakh, but we can't be sure of that because we've lost that ability to go backwards and find out. And then I do have some roots in Western Armenia, in Erzurum and Adana. But again, these are stories that would have been passed on from my dad's family's side, from my grandma, but she never spoke about it, unfortunately. She was very quiet about these things. I never tried to push my grandma, just other than finding out exactly where we're from, kind of a thing. People often ask me in Gymri or just in general when I meet people in Armenia, they say, oh, are you from Gymri? Is that why you chose to be there? But I think it's just, in a weird way for me, it's like that's the new story. Now Gymri is where I am. And so where I'm from is important, but it's okay that my roots are not in Gymri. It's like right now I'm rooting myself in Gymri, and I like to explore that. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for my future or future potential generations that would come after me? So that's a very interesting aspect of it.
For sure. You said just now that you felt quite strongly about staying in the regions rather than the capital. Could you talk to us a bit about that, please?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I know so few people, who live in the regions as far as like people who come and repatriate. Even there are some very spectacular people that aren't of Armenian origin, but they come and they live in the regions. I love this too. Mm. I think that that brings a real fresh perspective as well. But I know that, yeah, many of my friends who did Birthright or even just moved to Armenia, they ended up living in Yerevan, which is fine. Like, that's there's nothing wrong with that at all. Me personally, I see that I'm privileged in the way of I've been speaking Armenian since I was born. I know how to read and write. I thought I should use that and go to the regions because I won't suffer as much as somebody else might. And I really like Gyumri in relation to like what I do, because Gyumri is the hub of the textiles industry, like from Soviet times. They were known for having really efficient factories here and all that kind of thing. So when I'm looking at establishing my own fashion business here and what I do with that, it's quite interesting to look into the past of Gyumri and look at, okay, what are we using from that to build a new fashion future, you know, from this city. In a way, it's kind of like a passion project of like, okay, I want to find out everything I can about Gyumri and what people did, you know, in those times, what their jobs were like, you know, what kind of products were they producing. So I have maybe a skill that I know is useful in this particular regional city.
I've heard from people that all the factories from the Soviet times have closed down. Is the textile industry still active?
I think a lot of my research initially came from just meeting people and talking and sort of building a backstory of like, oh, okay, you're, you know, an older man or an older woman that used to, in your working days, work in these textile factories, you know, either in the machine side of things or in some other aspect, developing embroidery or print or something like this, or knitting or weaving. There's a multitude of things that people did. But yeah, it's definitely like in 10 years' time, we might already lose all those stories because like those people will move on.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because, yeah, even though the places themselves don't exist anymore, what's happening now is there's a resurgence. So like Armenia is developing those, I guess, soft power constructs in a few different industries. And now we do have brands that in Gyumri. Some wool factories have restarted in Gyumri, some just production factories, like a Lentex company. So it is interesting. It's small and it needs a lot of infrastructure to get back to that like very efficient way of producing. But it is good. It is good to see we do need those jobs here. We need things that people can do that are a real skill set and something that builds the economy of the region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So could you talk to us more about your work? What do you actually do?
I work in a bit more of a narrow field of fashion. It's all to do with sustainability. I think in general, sustainability is something that we can do well in Armenia because it's using ingenuity and using like some prowess to understand how you can reuse a material or repurpose it. So like what I do is I have my own brand. It's Anahit Sarian, it's just my name. It's basically like I will source fabrics from like other companies that have discarded things that they bought too much of. Often in the world, we have this issue where we overbuy textiles and then we don't use them because they're not seasonal. Like they are seasonal, sorry, and they're not useful in the future. So I work in that area of reclaiming those materials and using them somewhere else. Sometimes I am upcycling clothing to other types of clothing. So like just reusing the materials and taking out pieces that can be repurposed. Sometimes even it can be about furnishing fabrics. And yeah, it's super interesting. When I was working as a volunteer, introducing this idea of like, how do you upcycle something that you found or you've been given or that you've bought? And so I really liked passing on this skill to a lot of the young people that I met here. And it is, yeah, it is sort of like a thing that's becoming a big deal in the industry globally. So I like that I can bring that here and we can start to think in that way, because I think historically, you know, we're a group of people in the world that we're used to, oh, if I have this thing, if I mend it, I can use it again. Or if I change the way it works, I can use it. And I think that that's something that maybe we lose because of like the effect of capitalism, and or you can just get a brand new item and you don't need to, you know, you can throw away the old one. But I think if we even just try to use our historic knowledge of mending and utilizing objects that we don't want to get rid of, it can be really useful to us, like even on a larger scale. So I'm very much about taking a small thought process and sort of duplicating it to become like a bigger process.
So when you worked as a volunteer, did you do the same kind of stuff? Were you working in this fashion/textiles industry?
Yeah, a fashion show that I put on at Emily Aragog Center.
Yeah.
So we did like a thing where each of the students there, they all obviously have special needs. Their bodies work in different ways. And working on making, this upcycled looks for them was really fun. Mm. It was such a great challenge and really interesting work. So we did that. That was one of my job sites. And then I had like a role at a local company called Anes Fashion, and she makes like bridal kind of thing, and so she wanted to take a lot of her leftover fabrics and turn it into like flower girl stuff. So that was nice because you know reusing the leftovers from the bridesmaid dresses into like little girl dresses, so that was also really fun. And I got to see like that sort of relationship between the clients and the brand and all that sort of thing. My favorite job site was in Youth Palace. They have a place there called Sirun Collective, which is the sewing studio there, and all the students there, but particularly the girls that I worked with in this studio, were so great. They learned to make their own accessories while I was there and sell them, and I really loved this ability of being able to show like, here's what you're making, and then here's how it can go online or into a market and you can sell it. And they really, I think, benefited from this, and they still do a lot of heavily focused work on sustainable fashion. I think they put on a fashion show 2 years ago on their own. I felt that I loved that job site because they were really family, and I think they treat a lot of their volunteers that way, not just me. And I really saw that, okay, I had a long-term effect on them because those girls went on to study more and delve more into their fashion journey. It's really nice.
So whilst you were here, you felt like you really integrated, and whilst you were here during birth ride, let's say.
Yeah, I think job sites really helped in that way, like because they were mostly oriented towards my career. It helped me to understand where I will fit in as an alumni, like what I will do with my work. And I think also the job sites, if you become part of it and you socialize with them as well and try to like be a part of the people's lives outside of the hours, you get a lot out of it. I really love being able to forge those relationships because I still keep them now, and like whether it's for work or for just hanging out or just for other types of socializing, those relationships from birthright volunteering, they are and they have been so important. Same I would say for host families. My host family taught me a lot. Being that I'm from Australia, I don't know what it's like to be under the Soviet Union. You know, like my parents were not. So listening to my host parents tell me about their experiences, you know, why it's so hard when there was a collapse of the Soviet Union. Why is that such a huge problem? You know, how did they overcome that obstacle of living in an independent but very fragile Armenia? So I really love them for that, because I wouldn't have known that personal experience if I didn't live with them. Everyone, make sure you live with a host family. But I really believe that they're a huge part of the integration.
Is birthright still quite a big part of your life? Are you still involved?
It's so interesting, actually. After volunteering, I spent probably another year or so being very heavily involved with volunteers. So I was very close. I would hang out with volunteers. I would invite them to my house. And then I realized that I was hurting myself a lot by doing this, because a lot of people would leave. And especially being in Gymri, I felt quite isolated at times, because it would be like, here's everybody that I love and I want to hang out with, and then suddenly they're gone. And then here's a new bunch of people. So I realized I'm just in a cycle that isn't good for longevity. Like, I will get very tired and emotionally exhausted from that. So at some point I stopped being so social with volunteers. But now it's different. Now that my business is more up and running than ever before, and I have something that I can give back to the company. Now I'm doing more of that kind of like relationship with the company itself and like with the staff, and I've signed up as a job site, so you know, soon volunteers will actually be able to come to me and work with me and all that sort of thing, and hopefully I can introduce them to a lot of things that I got, you know, the privilege to be exposed to. I'm very lucky because now our amazing Sona, I'm sure you know, she's working as the alumni director, so because she knows me well and she understands what I do, she keeps in contact a lot and helps me to, I guess, reach the full potential that I want to reach, like with my work. So yeah, I feel these days much more connected with the offices, but hopefully with volunteers I'll have that working relationship as well. Just maybe I'll try my best not to be so close so that I don't get sad when people leave.
Yeah. The alumni experience, you've talked a little bit about the support that Birthright continues to offer you, but could you expand a little bit? Is there anything else you could tell us about that?
I can say that the alumni experience is definitely hard in the regions for sure, because there's not so much infrastructure in general, but at the same time I think that I'm quite an independent person, so I never saw it as like I'm gonna do Birthright and then I'm gonna like they're gonna hold my hand, you know, for time unending. So I went through, you know, a lot of the usual things here, like, you know, being a girl, renting on my own. Traditionally, it's not like that here. So there is a bit of difficulty when it comes to housing and, you know, explaining why you're not married and all that sort of thing. Yeah, I would say like I learned a lot about like what does it mean to be a woman here in comparison to in other spaces I've inhabited, you know. So there are certain things where, yeah, you have to do it alone and that's okay. And you always know that the Birthright team is there and the family is there, you know, volunteers included. Everyone's there if you want them, if you need them. You know, you're not 100% deserted. And as much as society can be difficult in Gymri, like there are a lot of things that are, you know, different to what I'm used to, but there are also people here that have supported me, that have been there for me, that are my friends. So I know I can always rely on someone. But, well, now life is different. You know, I have a lot of things that I didn't have before. Like I have pets, I have a partner now, so like my home and work life, it makes sense as opposed to like trying to be like, okay, why am I here, what am I gonna do, how do I do it, you know. So now I think that, yeah, having that backup of okay, now I know why I'm going to call, you know, the staff and ask them a question, or now I know why they would get in contact with me and we'd do something together. And same with the other alumni as well. Like the few of us that are living in Gymri, like we have a bit more of an understanding of, okay, this is your schedule, this is my schedule, this is how we'll meet up, or this is how we'll collaborate and things like that. So yeah, I take a lot of inspiration from the others too. So it all comes together.
Nice. What was the ultimate like deciding factor for staying in Armenia?
It's gonna sound very cheesy or cliche, but I really think there's the volunteer sites that I had, and then there's also some things that I did just like on the side while I was volunteering and after that too, that kind of exposed me to the youth in Gymri. So you look at like this young generation in this very small city. They're in that place where they can either be influenced to think in that post-Soviet, more closed-minded way, or they can dive into a bit more of a global viewpoint. And, you know, they've got the privilege of getting a high education that a lot of, you know, generations before them couldn't get. And I look at them and, you know, I know a lot of young people here and I've worked with a lot of young people here. And I sort of think to myself, gee, like I had the opportunity to go to an Armenian school in another country. So it gave me the privilege of, you know, being who I am, but as an Australian. Right. I had, you know, one of the best universities to go to. I got like an honors degree. Like I had so many privileges that led me to go, okay, the world is my oyster. Like I can do stuff, whatever I want. they don't always get that chance to think that way. And especially girls here, for example, you know, they have to get married at a young age, they have to have babies at a young age. They're not expected to be highly educated or highly skilled and to have like a good paying job. There are so many things that are much worse. Like there's a lot of domestic violence issues here, you know, men's mental health, you know, like so much that society and culture is keeping as like a dark cloud over like new generations. So for me, when I look at how much has progressed over the past 3.5 years, I sort of am like, well, why wouldn't I stay to see what happens next? You know, like these young kids and even older people, even like I'm 31, even my generation, like people will see so much good. And yes, sometimes they will struggle against it and they won't want change and they want to stay the way things are because they're scared of change. But I think one day a lot of people would look back and go, oh, okay, allowing for growth, allowing for change has been really positive for us. And I'd like to think that I can make a small part, you know, of that and bring something positive towards that bigger picture. So yeah, in a very, very dumb sort of cliche way, I really love people and I really want young people to have every privilege that I had. So that's why I want to stay.
Not dumb or cliche at all. Nah, you gave a very, very deep and thought-provoking response. That was good.
That's great.
I'll ask one more question. What advice would you have for anyone who is kind of not sure if they want to stay?
Yeah.
People who are thinking about staying in Armenia as an alumni, what advice can you give from your experience and what would you say to these people?
Let's say even about people who aren't here yet, just try.
Right.
That's my only advice. Just try. Just come for a month. Because I think if you try, then at least that gives you a chance to see, you know, what's possible. For people who are here, who are volunteers and like, I really want to stay, but I don't know how. I think you have to look at it from a perspective like, what can you do right now? So like, I already had my degree. I had done that. I had work experience, you know, like my resume and all that kind of thing said that I can stay and I can be useful and I can make my way. But I think if you're really young, you know, and you're like, I don't know, like I should go and finish my studies or I should make sure all of that is taken care of. For that, I would recommend make sure you do it and then come back. But if you're already graduated and you know that you just need experience and you need to start working, for sure, do it here. Like there's so many options. Like, yeah, Birthright can help you find a job through your contacts from, you know, being here. You can find a job. Everyone who's here is going to support you, you know, and make you stay, like going to help to make sure that that happens. So to not be scared, you know, don't be afraid, because sure, so many things can happen to you. Yeah, like we've all got something to be worried about, but you know that you're in a place where actually like someone is going to feed you. Like I always think, okay, what if I can't make enough money because I'm like living in Gymri and it's hard to, you know, work that out here. It's like, but I always have a neighbor that's going to feed me, you know, like the Dadiks are always going to care that I'm surviving, you know. So like that minuscule thought is like very good, because you can always know that like people here love, like they love you and they show their love, they care, they give you what you need. And yeah, and that's literally it. It's just like, just know that you'll be taken care of, and that if you know that you can manage, I don't know, being away from your family and you know that you can make new friends, then go for it. Then yeah, trust yourself and take the dive. And you know, it's not important to stay forever. This is no one knows what forever is going to look like. I certainly don't. I'm staying, you know, every day I'm like, here's another day, you know, like I'm not trying to make it like I have to be here for 20 years or 40 years thing, or even 5 years. Like I'm just doing it. But I think even if you come and you're like, I'm just going to stay a few more months, or I'm just going to give it 1 year, do that. You don't have to stay forever. Just do the thing that you can, and Armenia will be so much better for that. You'll be so grateful to you for doing that, you know, for sacrificing a bit of your time and giving it to this country. So yeah,
unfortunately that's all the time we have for today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, and I'm certain that our listeners will appreciate what you had to say, and they'll find what you said really interesting and really insightful, especially since you're an alumnus and you've got a bit of a different perspective on these things. Thank you again, Anahit, for joining me, and I wish you the best of luck for all your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was good fun.
I hope the listeners love it too.